Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're mean, Mercedes. You're mean, growing up in the Dominican Republic, who were your favorite baseball players?
Robinson Cano. I never imagined that Robbie is my cousin. You know that?
Robbie Cano, but don't you know?
He's your cousin?
Oh, yeah, we're cousins.
Wow. Tanny, what'd you think of your guy, the Yerminator?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that little nugget there about him and Robbie Cano, don't you know? Hey, did you guys know that they were cousins? Did you guys know that?
No.
We did not know that.
I love that part.
You know that?
What's up, Tanny?
We have a development on the south side.
Batting fifth, the designated hitter, number 73, Yermin Mercedes.
2-1 to Mercedes. And Yermin tattoos this ball. Oh, where is it going to land?
Yeah. This is brilliant.
Desapareciendo del parque, sayonara, baby. Wow.
Welcome to Chicago, 73.
Oh, my God. Astonishment witness, he has broken in half.
Wow.
You're mean Mercedes.
Friend of the show.
It's going your first inning, and it's Brad Keller, baby.
Friend of the show.
You're mean had the phone from you guys' interview, gave it to Billy Russo, and then hit a home run. That's how I saw it happening anyway.
A home opener, complete game shutout, twirled by Lance Lynn.
Is it for the rest of the season?
Is what is?
The big league boys.
The what?
The big league boys.
Big league boys? What, baseball? What about it?
Is it anybody carried through?
Just never know. It has to play out.
That's the name of the game, if I said right. So myself. Hope to see a few of those home run balls launch into orbit.
One, two, three,
and here we go.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Maybe it's his natural talent, raw power, and that he's the hottest hitter in baseball. But maybe it was that he talked to us, which is what gave him the juice to hit 485 feet for the White Sox.
You know that? Speaks.
I did not know that, Yermin. I did not know that.
I can't wait to hang out with my cousins and call them my cousins instead, because that is the way that cousins should always have been referred to. Once Yermin says it, it just feels appropriate. That was amazing. That dude is special, and more of it yesterday. And you see, if you could hit it that hard and that far, with less than two strikes, and every time in BP, wouldn't you try to do that too? I mean, God.
Yeah, what a dumb narrative. Like, oh, he swings for the fences too much. Well, yeah, did you see how far he can hit the baseball?
Yeah.
I'd want to do that too.
What is baseball? What is baseball these days? He does that early in the count, and then with two strikes, he transforms, sometimes even earlier in the count, which is what everyone is asking every hitter to be. We spent 3 years waiting for Kyle Schwarber to become that guy. Take your first two strikes and swing for the fences, then shorten up and give me a B-hack. That's your mean. He's gonna force Andrew Vaughn to find the awkward bench time that he has and force his way into Tony La Russa's lineup again and again and again for a while here.
Yeah, it's a high-class problem, right? Andrew Vaughn was supposed to play. They weren't doing any sort of service time manipulation. They didn't sign him to a contract. They're converting him to a left fielder, but Yermín Mercedes is hitting every single thing that's thrown up there. So Vaughn's going to lose a little bit of playing time. We'll talk to Steve Stone about it coming up at 4 o'clock. Boog Shambi at 3 o'clock. But, yeah, man, it's much more fun to get out on the driving range and just grip it and rip it with the driver than practice putting. You know, like he's swing for the fences, Yermín. It's what the people pay to see for. Chicks dig the long ball.
Especially if you can do both. And he can do both.
Yeah, that's better.
Fun fact, 3 strikeouts for Yermín Mercedes on the year. I think it's 28 at bats. 3 yep. strikeouts. That's
better
not
than 6 and 17 for Vaughn.
Yeah.
6 strikeouts and 17 plate appearances.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And Andrew Vaughn is purported to be a very good hitter and is a good hitter, but Yermín is rocking and rolling. But I mean that had to be so fun. That is you can't ask for a lot more. I know they made you wait for a couple hours for a home opener and the rain was crappy, but then you get Lance Lynn with 11 strikeouts in a complete game, and you get Yermín doing that, and that 3 at bat run with Abreu coming up there and the fans chanting MVP. And then Moncada, and then Mercedes. That's special stuff. All of course.
Yeah, you could ask for 70 and sunny, in terms of
what
you could ask for 70 and sunny, and no couple hour rain delay, and no injuries, and a winning record heading into the home opener. Like you could ask for more, but in terms of the game, once it actually started, that looked like the dominant team that the White Sox purport themselves to being. Right, that was what they were supposed to be, and Lance Lynn was dominant, and Moncada and Mercedes hitting those home runs. It was a great home opener, and I also I was very happy to know, because we aired that interview with Yermín Mercedes at 5 o'clock. The game started at 5:20. You know, we're not naive. There probably were a lot of White Sox fans watching pregame on TV or the radio network, or already in front of their televisions, or not listening to the radio. So maybe you didn't hear it all. But that did not stop Jason Benetti, Matt Spiegel. Did not stop Jason Benetti from, during the broadcast of the White Sox home opener, the pro that he is, referencing our great conversation with Yermín Mercedes.
Steve, we just saw the Mercedes and Moncada home runs, and I got a note earlier on today, a little while ago, from the great Danny Parkins of the Parkins and Spiegel show on 670 The Score. And he said they had Yermín Mercedes on for an interview earlier today. And Mercedes mentioned that he found out in recent years that he is a cousin of Robinson Cano, which is very interesting because he and Moncada just went back to back. And Moncada idolized Robinson Cano, in fact, named his son Robinson.
A long lost cousin.
And they had the same initials.
Coincidence? I think not.
You don't?
No, I do.
You know that?
Who has the same initials? You mean Mercedes and Juan Moncada? Or Robinson Cano and Mercedes?
I don't know.
You mean Juan.
Yeah, you're mean and Juan, I believe, is what Stoney was saying there. But, I much prefer that reference from Jason Benetti, the great Danny Parkins, as opposed to when he called me least helpful local talk show host Danny Parkins. This is better.
I know that
a little too much Parkins.
He gave me that one too.
It's good to it's good for the show to get mentioned on the broadcast, and I know you like that, but I think the whole day has basically been you waiting to play Benetti saying the great Danny Parkins. I mean, how much of your day has been spent planning for that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Jason Benetti will be joining us in the 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock hour of the show to just list other adjectives that he could have used in addition to great.
Steve, we just saw the Mercedes and Moncada home runs, and I got a note earlier on today, a little while ago, from the great Danny Parkins.
Nope. Yeah, so don't worry. There will be plenty of time to play that. That's not how Rick Hahn refers to me. At least someone in the White Sox organization respects my contributions to the White Sox discourse. Thank you.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
My favorite exchange that happened yesterday off the air that did not make its way onto the air was in our text thread pre-show as we talked about Rick Hahn so upset with some of Tony La Russa's managerial moves that he drove to your house to kick your dog. Just so upset that he drove to your house to kick Omar.
It was just mean. It was uncalled for. Just because there was a time before any allegations came out that I was willing to trade Omar for Deshaun Watson, and my dog hasn't looked at me the same since, especially in light of the recent developments with the news. Now you have Rick Hahn kicking my dog out of frustrations over Tony La Russa's usage of Matt Foster. It's just not right.
It's just that Hahn is, you know, the image of Hahn being so upset and going to kick his dog, realizing that's not fair to his own dog. Deciding instead to get in the car and drive to your house,
it's
knocking
right
on the door at whatever hour it happens to be, enduring the social exchange of talking to you for a moment as you let him in, and then kicking Omar just to get his frustration out and moving on his way.
Yeah, you really did enjoy that image. I can tell that you really
I had it
really
fleshed out.
Like,
I really had it fleshed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the whole thing worked out. It's my dog has been the butt of too many jokes, and he can't even defend himself, which is the terrible part. It's not like he can come on here and plead his case. He's a dog.
It's true.
You know what I mean? So
he's very limited. His options are
very limited. We're taking tremendous advantage. And the crazy thing is, I love my dog. I'm not even like that heathen Bernstein who hates the love of a dog and was like shocked in the Bernstein and Rahimi tournament of good how the love of a dog could have advanced so far to meet Terry Bors in the championship. You hear him describe it, and he describes it in such disdain. He like, on one hand, it's like, oh God, my former partner was so much more likable than me. But on the other hand, you weird dog lovers and your appreciation of unfiltered love. I could tell he much preferred the Tournament of Bad. I could tell.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely. I love you call it the Tournament of Good. It's greatness. But like, so they went just a little bit.
Oh, they went with greatness?
Yeah, they went with greatness. Yeah, but yeah, no, he was, you know, he's out of his element.
A little
bit out of his element praising so many things. It's true.
Way too much positive.
Congrats to Terry for winning on that. The uniqueness of Lance Lynn. Are there degrees of uniqueness? He's so unique, is Lance Lynn.
On this show, there are, because I just think that it's an easy turn of phrase that, frankly, I use often. So I don't like that I gets pointed out, oh, there's no such thing as degrees of uniqueness. It's either unique or it's not.
Hey,
shut
Chicago.
Up.
Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Mac.
Okay.
Exactly.
But Lance Lynn, I'll ask you the question, and I can ask it to the hosts of the Locked On Sox podcast, who happen to be our producing tandem today, Chris Tannehill and Herb Lawrence. Lance Lynn has thrown 210 pitches this year in his two starts. How many of those were not a version of a fastball? How many of those 210 pitches were not a version of a fastball by Lance Lynn?
I'm going to go with 20 of those pitches were not versions of fastballs.
Okay, out of 210.
That strikes me as a crazy low number, even though I know he is fastball dependent. But I will say 45.
I'll take the under on Herb's, because I was looking at the pitch charts last night doing the post-game show with Herb, so I know it was a very small percentage of curveballs mixed in there, but they were mixed in. So I'll go 12.
Yeah, it's 5. The answer is 5. This is how unique Lance Lynn is. He has thrown 98 four-seam fastballs. He's thrown 54 cut fastballs and 53 of his sinking fastballs. He's thrown 3 curveballs and 2 changeups. That's Lance Lynn. This is what he is. This is not new, but it is new to notice and observe as you're watching that dude. And very simply put, Danny, he throws more fastballs than anybody in baseball. He's got 3 varieties of them, and they all, especially 2 of them, the four-seamer and the sinker especially, look exactly the same coming out of his hand. And the tunnel is exactly the same. And those two, like his four-seamer has a ton of carry at the top of the zone. It's elite. The two-seamer has, it's one of the best two-seamers that's out there. That's the one that sinks. And you have to choose one as a hitter. You cannot hit one if you're sitting on the other. This is what makes him special. And it also makes his arm this solid. This is why that dude goes out and throws 100 pitches for 40 straight starts. This is why he wanted to go nine yesterday when he didn't even have to, because he can, because he's not hurting his elbow or his shoulder with breaking stuff. He's just manipulating the baseball, probably using the sticky stuff like everybody does, and throwing three versions of fastballs 98.5% of the time. Very, very unique dude.
That's ridiculous. And, I mean, his baseball reference page is crazy, right? Just the consistency the last couple of years, the number of starts, the innings pitched,
yes,
the Cy Young finishes, like how deep he goes into games, all of that stuff. So
he's
a workhorse.
He's bankable like that.
Go back and look at that first at-bat yesterday against Whit Merrifield, who's one of the more accomplished professional hitters in the entire league, and just see what he did to him and how stupid he made him look on the first at-bat of the game. And you go back and you look at Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja's overlay on Twitter that he had this morning of where the fastballs are coming from, and you see why it made him look so bad, because the mechanics from Lance Lynn are just so stable. Like, it's coming from the same spot every time. So you can fool even the best of hitters when you repeat your mechanics in that fashion.
Well, and he's a huge part of the reason why a lot of people think that the White Sox, this is their best chance to win a World Series, because he's so damn good, but he's only on a one-year contract, mm-hmm, right? So it's what, like, obviously Keuchel, how many years left of a prime does he have? We know that Giolito anchors it. There's plenty of guys like Cease and Kopech who can rise up into that role. But in terms of this team right now, there's a very real possibility that nobody else within the White Sox infrastructure of pitching ever rises up and is the level of pitcher that Lance Lynn is, right? Like, that is absolutely in play. Kopech and Cease could be very good pitchers and not be as good as Lance Lynn, which is why there's so much of an emphasis on winning this year when you've got that guy under contract on a one-year deal.
Absolutely true. And it's also it's something to look at. I mean, do you go and try to talk extension with Lance Lynn at some point this year? Do you want to go down that road? See how it works out. They probably won't, because Kopech can get slotted in, or maybe Crochet can get slotted in, and they'll see what Jimmy Lambert looks like by the end of the year, and Jonathan Stever and all of that, and see how Cease progresses. So maybe they won't want to spend that money. But that dude's going to be real good for another few years for somebody, because his arm is rock solid.
Boog Shambi will join us at 3 o'clock. Steve Stone at 4. I want to follow up with Tanny on something that he said the other day, because, you know, it's very early in a baseball season, and that team last night looked really, really damn good. It's Parkinson's.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Beagle on the score.
Yoan in the air, left center field. This is for the first time in 2 years, light it up.
Light it up.
Benetti and Stone with the call, NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk to Steve Stone at 4 o'clock. Boog Shambi in 10 minutes. A couple days ago, Chris Tannehill and I were talking, and I said to him, man, your baseball team is just so damn interesting. And he responded, if by interesting, do you mean excruciating? And I thought that was just so interesting, no pun intended there, given all that's going on with their team and the expectations. Do you still find your White Sox to be excruciating, Tanny?
You know, that win yesterday was like the pressure release valve, and it certainly helped, you know. But when you're staying up way late, you know, the West Coast trip does not help things. Let's be honest with you. You know, like, okay, if they win 3-4 on an East Coast trip and, you know, everything's done by 10 p.m., you know, that's a little easier. But when you start out that way, and then you already have the Eloy injury hanging over everything, and then there's just more injuries and more injuries coming, and you're just, it feels just horrendous. But yeah, it's now that road trip's over with, and they finished 3-4. When did you ask me that question? Was that after? That was after. It was probably Monday, right? So after losing 3-4 to the Angels,
yes,
right.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's so three. You know, 3-4. you know, versus, you know, 1-3. Like, it's, you know, to me, that's a big difference in a baseball world. Like, the fact that they were able to beat up on the Mariners a little bit should have swept them. But, no, they're not as excruciating after you see, you know, what they would look like in the ballpark as they did yesterday. I think they're going to play really well at home this year, and especially the Royals are just good for what ails you. Let's be honest, folks. So, yeah, they're not quite as excruciating. But me, like, I still tend to sometimes see baseball, like, in a football mentality, which is a fault of mine, where it's, like, every loss. Like, you know, you're living and dying, like, every day, you know, even though I know I shouldn't. But when you have so much anticipation build up during the offseason, and then you have the start like that where you don't even have the full team that you had envisioned, and then you have even less of those guys as guys get hurt, that can be frustrating. So it was more so out of frustration when I said that to you.
What okay. You just described, that tension between the head and the heart, where intellectually, you know, you should not get up for wins and down for losses that way. But in your heart, you feel it and you ride it every day. That's the essence of this sport. That's why, I mean, I blew Ruben's mind, my 9-year-old, the other day when I told him how many games there are in a season. Like, he could not wrap his head around it.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to him that there are 17 football games. That's a much more physical game, son. Explaining to him that there are 81 you know, basketball games and hockey games. And I told him 162, and he just... He couldn't even comprehend it. He had to stop and, like, ask me, what? They play that many times? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the whole Angels series, I kept telling myself, okay, recalibrate. This is not a 60-game season. Recalibrate. Yeah. Not, you know, every game does mean something because you could miss out on the playoffs by one game. We know that. But still, every team is going to have their peaks and valleys. And if you would have taken a 3-4 road trip and placed it anywhere in the season, you know, place it in June or July, and you don't probably think too much about it. But when you add the anticipation of the offseason, I think that's what creates the sour feeling.
Yeah. There are 154 games left of the White Sox season. And they all matter because they might win or lose the division by a game, and we'll see how tight things are by the time September rolls around. But, yeah, intellectually, you know not to go crazy, but sometimes you just can't help yourself.
Also, if you're going to be a fan and you don't feel anything, then what's the point?
I agree.
Right.
I thoroughly agree. It's like, you know, so it becomes a matter of sort of talking yourself into that. I'm fascinated, though, by Danny, bookmark this conversation, by this, the currency of interesting, because I would agree that the White Sox are incredibly interesting, regardless of whether they are frustrating, regardless, frankly, of whether they are, you know, great, or whether they underwhelm or exceed expectations by the end of the year. And the Cubs are inherently not as interesting. Part of that is familiarity, of course, but the currency of interesting is absolutely something where the White Sox are towards the top of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of reasons why, and we can get into it, but part of it is expectations. Like, just most simply, right? It's expectations. It's the newness. It's that this group hasn't won. It's the personalities. Like, there's so many things that contribute to that. And us being like, hey, even if the White Sox aren't good, they'll still be interesting. That's something that you and I can say as people who aren't living and dying with it. But a guy like Tanny, who is a huge fan and is watching all 162 games start to finish and doing podcasts at the end of them, like, yeah, it's not going to be much of a saving grace. Like, man, that was a really interesting 78-win White Sox team you had this year. Like, I can't imagine that would make you feel much better given the expectations that they have. But Boog Sciambi has settled into his role as the new voice of the Cubs. We'll talk baseball and nonsense. He's going to be with us Fridays throughout the baseball season. He's going to fit right in with whatever the hell it is that we do around here. Boog Sciambi next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.